y'all. Hey, y'alls.
Hey, where, have you been down in Florida? You sound like you've been down south.
I've been down in Texas, y'alls. No, I should.
Y'alls.
Y'alls. I say that so sarcastically. I know that every, you know, most people from the south say that. It's just,
they do say y'all.
Y'all. I'm just not, I'm so not, whenever cute. I say y'all, I'm totally being a sarcastic bitch.
Are you? Are y'all being sarcastic?
Did you know that I'm a sarcastic bitch?
You? No. I don't, I very, very occasionally do I gather that.
I'm so sarcastic. this is early for us. I usually have a second cup of coffee, but I couldn't today because we're doing this earlier and I could only have one. And, so my mind is still a tiny bit foggy.
Me
so
too.
We'll see what happens.
My eyes aren't even really that open.
We'll see where we go.
I have two cups of coffee sitting in front of me. Can I be full disclosure right now?
Of course.
So I'm in Winnemucca, Nevada, in a hotel, and where I'm about to embark on a 6-day river rafting trip with my family, where I'm going to completely unplug.
Like, oh, good.
And let me tell you something. I say that. And I'm also terrified when I say it, like, because I've never, since the dawn of the smartphone, have I unplugged for 6 days. But it's going to be great. But my husband went out and got coffee at a place called Espresso Magic Drive-Through Cafe or something like that. Anyway, and I said to him, as I kicked them out, now the whole family's out at breakfast, I go, babe, I won't be mad if you bring me back another cup of coffee. So he just handed me his. Aww. So I have two, the equivalent of two grandes sitting in front of me right now. And I will down them both before we are through talking about all this crazy shit that's going on.
I had to have mine early so I could run to the bathroom 35 times. And, you know, hopefully I won't have to do that during the show.
Oh, God,
but, you know,
me too.
It's like I drink coffee and it just runs through me. So
I know.
Isn't that fun information? Everybody likes
it
to
is.
Hear that.
I thought you were talking about the number two.
No,
she's talking about pee.
I have to go number one.
Well, it is a diuretic. What'd you say?
Number one. Only number one.
Oh, I know. Clear. Got it.
And at some point, like, we're going to discuss this rally and everything, but I have to fucking complain about IKEA. So I don't want to forget about doing that. Anyway.
Okay. Let me make a note of that. IKEA.
Fucking IKEA.
Triple exclamation point. Okay.
But just FYI, listeners, we'd love it if you supported the show. It would be awesome.
We would love it.
And it's really easy. You can become a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. And, you know, a lot of people just pledge $1. $1 a whole month. You can totally afford that. Please don't argue with me. Don't tell me you can't afford it. If you can't afford it, then don't do it. But you can afford a dollar.
I'm going to see your dollar and I'm going to take it up to $5 because here's what I like to do. Uh-huh. There are a lot of creators I love to support. And I do because this podcast, they're what's getting us through the times, people. And so podcasts that I've listened to that I've enjoyed, I'll pop a fiver in there.
Yeah.
Because the creators put in a lot of effort.
Yeah. And I mean, they're
I give 10.
Yeah. And some creators are telling the truth on like some of the mainstream media, mm-hmm. which I also want to talk about.
That's right.
Anyway, so that would be great. Just please visit the site, pop us a dollar, and $5 gets you into And Another Thing, which is our segment directly after this show. And we delve into a little bit more personal issues. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's about body image. Sometimes it's about relationships. I mean, we just basically chat like women. And mm-hmm. although if there's usually it's just the two of us. Sometimes, I think occasionally we've had somebody come in mm-hmm. and talk with us, but mostly it's just us. So, but today it's just going to be us. We don't have any guests. So it's just
We don't need no stinking guests today.
All right.
Who are we?
Yeah. You know what? I have that question for you later.
Okay.
I do. I have that specific question, but it's in relation to something else.
Okay. Ooh, I love it. Spring it on me. I love
to be surprised. Well, first let's talk about the Trump rally. Oh my God. Are you kidding me with this woman?
Is that horrible?
No, it's just sad. It's really sad that these people are so fucking angry and they're screaming at Jim Acosta. And you know what? It's terrifying to me because, and I posted about this morning and I was thinking, you know, we can win the election. You know, we can, the Democrats can take the House. Maybe the Democrats can even take the Senate. And mm-hmm. it would be great if we would fix a lot of the problems, like, you know, making sure that our elections are secure and changing up the way that presidents are allowed to be, you know, president. They should show their taxes or whatever it is. But the one thing that the election isn't going to do is it's not going to give us one centralized media that or media source that people know is just the truth. Mm-hmm. We used to have that. At 6 o'clock, you would turn on the evening news. I mean, yes, we have evening news, but
we still have that.
We have it, but but people aren't really watching it. People aren't really getting their news from, you know, ABC at 6 p.m. Most right. people are either going to Fox or MSNBC or CNN. And CNN is pretty straightforward. But I think that our media is, at this point, so afraid to say the truth. And there's whether they're afraid or it's because they make more money with something else, or they're afraid to appear hysterical, or afraid to appear as if they're, you know, setting off a population. Whatever it is, I don't see, you know, I mean, I obviously see people out there telling the truth. I see Rachel Maddow telling the truth, but there's a huge portion of our population that thinks she's the liar,
right.
You know? And so it doesn't, I feel like, where are we going to go? If we win the election, if we don't have somebody that we can just look at and say, yes, this person is giving us the truth, or this news organization or whatever it is giving us the truth that we all believe. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know if we can survive that as a country. I mean, we'll survive it in some way, and I don't expect that we'll ever get back to how it used to be, because it just won't. But, mm-hmm. where's it going to go? How, you know, and just to end on this, Ruth Bader Ginsburg recently just said that, you know, it's a pendulum. So mm-hmm. we basically are going to swing back.
Yeah.
So that's great. And I hope we do. But are we ever going to get back to this one truth that we can all agree on?
Or one truth that is also sort of equated with decency.
Mm-hmm.
And where that's first and foremost, you know, Jeff Glor, for example, who does the evening news on CBS, I heard him say that he doesn't even vote because he wants to remain as unbiased as possible, because he views his job and his mission as a network news anchor as delivering the news in the most unbiased way possible.
Hmm.
And I think it's interesting because after I heard him say that, Trump gave him 2 interviews 2 days in a row in Helsinki.
Huh.
Right? But which I thought was, I don't know what that was. You never know where they're coming from other than a place of pure racism, hatred, and trying to keep anybody that's not rich, white, and male down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I say that, you know, that seems sort of extremist. But that's a fact, Jack.
Yeah.
That is the way it is. That is what this administration is about. And I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I want to talk to the pendulum point that you made. Yes, it is a pendulum. But it's going to take a long ass time mm-hmm. to get back to normal, to get back to the place where those words of reason, where the Jeff Glors of the world are simply delivering the facts as they are without an agenda attached to it. We love Rachel. We love Lawrence. We love Chris Hayes. I mean, that's where you and I come from.
Mm-hmm.
But that's definitely, that's from our side. Now, while they're facts, that's from our side. So those facts that they're delivering serve us because we're all together in this thing.
Yeah.
Fox News is much of the time not based in fact.
No.
I would say, I mean, I don't watch a tremendous amount of it. I watch clips when I find them on Twitter or in the news or whatever. But, you know, those are people who are, they're feeding the base, that 33% or whatever the number is today, of people who just want to drink the Kool-Aid, mm-hmm. who want to perpetuate the hate, who are so rooted in racism and believing anything douchebag Donnie says, mm-hmm. that part is going to take a long time to swing back.
Yeah,
it's going to take a generation.
A generation, but then there's young people.
That's right.
Who are buying his
that's
crap.
Right.
And that's what scares me, because it's like, okay, fine. You could say there's a generation that's older and angry, and eventually, you know, they'll die out and the new generation will take over. But there's this new generation that feels exactly the way they do.
Yes.
You know,
well, I'm talking about that generation. Like, I'm talking about the youth. Like, we got to cycle through that brainwashing.
Right.
It's going to take a long time.
Well, I think that if we could just get to a point where we could trust our electoral process, where we had rules in place, like, you know, every president, I think in Maryland, I don't know if it's law yet, but I think that at least they're trying to make it law that if you want to be on the ballot, you have to show your tax returns. Mm-hmm. So I think we should have these kinds of rules in place all across the United States. So it makes it easier. For, you know, I mean, I know the right would scream about that right now, but they wouldn't scream about it if it had to do with the Democrats. So, you know, I mean, we would all agree that we would like to know what's the deal with the person that we're going to elect. And, you know, but it's the media, I think, that is a huge part of the problem. I mean, I see people like Bill Maher blaming Democrats, and, you know, it's like, it just fucking drives me crazy, because, you know, then it gets all these people going, yeah, because Democrats are really weak. Well, okay, you know what? Democrats have their faults, and I'm the first one to call them out, and I've done it a million times, so I won't continue to do it, but I, you know, I think they could have done a better job in 2010 midterms and the 2014 midterms. I think they've dropped the ball. But that being said, right now, there are a number of Democrats like Elizabeth Warren, Ted Lieu, Eric Swalwell, Adam Schiff. There's like a number, even Nancy Pelosi, people who are calling out what's happening. But the role of Democrats right now is to vote, to create and pass legislation if possible, and to vote while they're in a minority. They can't fucking do anything right now because they don't have legislative power. So there's only so much they can do, and they do have to be careful, because they can't run around screaming. They have to be truthful, yes, but they can't run around screaming in a hysterical way or an angry way, because they're going to turn off potential voters. You've got these, you know, independents or centrists who maybe they're not fully sold on, you know, the Russia deal. Maybe they're starting to understand it a little bit more clearly, but you know, you can't beat them over the head, or they're going to run in the other direction. You have to have a measured, calm approach to what's happening. Yes, you have to speak truth to power, and yes, you have to make sure to, you know, say what is actually going on. But I think that is truly the role of the media. That is what the framers intended with a free press, to hold our government accountable. And, you know, there's a lot of them out there who are not. I mean, there was a fucking New York Times story. I don't know who the author was, but it came out yesterday or the day before. And it was basically telling people to stop being mean to those racists. They just have a different perspective. So when you have articles with major news organizations that are putting out this bullshit, we're never going to get back to some centralized truth. It's like putting out an article and going, well, Hitler liked cats, so he's not a terrible guy.
Right.
He just had a different perspective.
Right.
It's bullshit. You know, and just because we haven't gotten to the Hitler phase yet, people aren't being, you know, fucking taken to the showers. Obviously, that's not happening. But it doesn't matter, because before people were taken to the showers, shit like this was going on. It was going on in Germany. You know, we're leading up to that.
That is exactly right. And that brings me to what has happened and what is happening with migrant children and their parents. So lives have been ruined. These children are damaged forever.
Forever, yes.
Forever, okay? Their parents are damaged forever. Their parents, however, as adults, have tools to try to overcome the trauma. These kids, these little minds that are still forming, these kids are ruined. There was a New York, I mean, I hate the New York Times now. I canceled my subscription over some fury once I figured out how to do it because I get it electronically.
Yeah.
But anyway, I read an article about a Brazilian boy who came over seeking amnesty with his mom. He's five. He was in a detention center for, I can't remember, I think 60 days or something. He came home to his mom. They have a new home in Philadelphia. Did you read this?
Yeah.
And he immediately went, he wanted to breastfeed. He's five. She said he hadn't done that in years. He's five. And his favorite new game is to pat down detainees and shackle them. And pretend to give them injections while holding them down.
Oh, my God.
This is a five-year-old kid. So that shit is happening. And that boy's back home with his mom. Okay? And so how many kids are still out there that have not been reunited with their parents? That's thousands upon thousands of lives that have been ruined. Mm-hmm. And this is, again... I'm not being dramatic when I say, does this qualify as like something that needs to go to the United Nations as crimes against humanity?
Yes, I believe it does, because I don't know if you saw this, but I've seen this from many sources. Just 32 minutes ago, Scott Dworkin tweeted that a refugee child has died following her stay at an ICE detention center as a result of possible negligent care. So she caught some kind of respiratory illness from another kid in the detention center. And the kid fucking died. And this is coming from a Texas lawyer. So, oh my God. You know, how do you read this news every day? I mean, I'm really having a hard time because I'm not checking out and then I'm not participating. Obviously, I'm still participating and I'm always going to participate.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this part of me that just wants to, like, you know, like you said, unplug until this is all over. I wouldn't be able to if I wanted to, which I kind of want to, but I wouldn't be able to do it. But you know, and I'm fortunate. We're fortunate. You're going on this vacation. You know, I'm trying to get this new place that we're living in decorated, and living
fucked up shit from IKEA. Yeah.
Yes, and I swear to God, I'm on a fucking rampage.
I love IKEA,
with them.
By the way.
they have pissed me off so much, but yeah, I mean, it's like we're fortunate because as much as it's so horrible to read about all this stuff, at least my life isn't affected personally, outside of listening to what's happening to other people.
But it is affected because you're a feeling and thinking person who has empathy and you care for these people. So it is affected. And like, I feel guilty that I get to go and be with my wonderful family and meet 15 new people on a whitewater rafting trip and not have to plug my phone in and put a headlamp on and read a book. But at the same time, like, I feel like I got to do something.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, you do.
I'm talking about scraping some shekels together so I can go protest in D.C. I want to go to the Kremlin Annex. I want to flip a table or two in the homeland.
Yeah.
Like, that's my duty, you know?
I know, and Bob and I have talked about, I haven't been feeling very well, and we're at some point, maybe on a Saturday night, Bob and I are going to go down there. I know that the guy, and I'm going to say his name wrong, Parkamenko? He's been awesome. I love that he calls
it the best.
I know he calls it the Kremlin Annex, and I know that tonight they're going to have bagpipes.
Oh, I love him so
and
deeply.
You know what's so awesome? You've got these fucking Trump voters screaming and flipping off the camera, and then you've got people protesting the Kremlin Annex, as they're calling it, as opposed to the White House. And they've got, you know, bagpipes and opera singers and mariachi bands. So it's like the way that we're protesting is A, with some humor. It's all peace all the time. And, you know, it's like the Trump people are the ones that are going, you know, the Trump voters and supporters are the ones that are going around screaming, fuck you, and booing journalists. Not to say that the left is incapable of any of that. Of course, there have been, you know, actions by the left that aren't perfect, but it's just, you take a look at what's happening and how things, you know, you've looked at the women's marches and the gun and the climate and all the other kind, the science marches, it's all peaceful. And we often use humor to convey our opinion. You know, it's like whether it's a funny shirt or whatever. And, you know, the Trumpers are wearing shirts that say, fuck your feelings.
Right.
So,
and I saw one delicious Floridian with a shirt that said, fuck the media.
Yeah, I saw, exactly. Oh, my God. Well, you know.
Let me also tell you, though, when I'm a slight bit more dignified when I protest, but not a ton more. I went to Fresno a month or so ago with my bestie, and we went down to protest Ivanka Trump being trying to fundraise for Kevin McCarthy and Devin Nunes. By the way, Devin Nunes is going to lose. We'll revisit that in a little bit.
Yes.
And I wore I have a shirt that just says it's a black shirt with white letters in a white box that said Trump is a racist. Okay, great. I wear it all the time. It's my favorite. It gets worn at least once or twice a week, and because it makes me feel good to be able to put that statement out there. So I wore that with a cute pair of skinny jeans, and I had a bullhorn, and I had a sign that said, prison, it's what's for dinner. And then on the back of it, it said, hashtag basta, motherfuckers. So I was channeling a little Ron Perlman and Michael Avenatti, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then I had the bullhorn, and I saw Ivanka drive by in a white Escalade type vehicle. Mm-hmm. And I just like, right up on the window. Ivanka, you're complicit. Ivanka, you're complicit. Now, I didn't cuss at her.
Right. Because that wouldn't be civil.
No, but I did stomp hard after the car. Ivanka, you're complicit. And I may have peed my pants just a little bit on that last yell, but I'm telling you what, they need to know. And here's something good in, if we're going to stay on the Ivanka train for just one sec. Ivanka no longer has a clothing line.
Yes.
Okay. So the resistance is effective because, and someone tweeted, oh God, who was it? Somebody beautiful, one of the beautiful Twitter people. I think it's Kim. She's got like this cute little profile picture where it's a cartoon. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
And she wrote, well, apparently these folks weren't buying Ivanka's clothing line. Maybe that's why it shut down. And then there's the lady with the tablecloth on flipping off Kim Acosta.
Right. Yeah, well, fucking Ivanka. She's an enigma to me. I'm very curious about her. I always have been, because she's, she basically is the first lady, you know, I mean, and clearly knows her father has been sexually attracted to her. And I don't even know how she deals with that. Does she like it? Does it give her like this sense of empowerment, or does it skeeve her out? I mean, it would skeeve me out. But I don't understand her. Ugh. I really don't. I mean, she just clearly she's hungry for power. She knows who her father is. I mean, I've read reports, and this is quite some time ago, so I wouldn't be able to cite where I read this. But the idea that she makes fun of him behind his back, you know, that she makes fun of his hair, and that basically she sees him for who he is. So maybe she's just, you know, the leech child that's trying to get what she can out of this.
Okay.
And then when he dies, she's got what she's got. I don't know. I really have no idea.
Clearly, but she's also complicit for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because
she's a guilty motherfucker.
Her husband are criminals.
Yeah.
Criminals. They're made up a new word.
They're criminals. Criminals.
That's a funny criminal.
Yeah. Well, so is Don Jr. then.
Yeah, Don Jr. And let's talk about Don Jr. Not for too long, but Don Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle. Oh, is there a grosser couple? Oh, my God.
That is just disgusting to me. I can't even, like, what comes into my mind is their sex life.
And Ew, me too.
I know, and it's like, ew. I just immediately think of that, and it's like, I don't even want to go there and try to pretend I know how
it
goes.
I just went there in such a grody way, and I have to get it out of my mind.
It's time to like bleach your eyes or bleach your mind out, because it's, but for some reason, like, that's what I see them having, this weird, odd sex life that's just disgusting.
And completely unsatisfactory for her.
For her, of course, because.
But she doesn't care, because guess what? She got fired from Fox News for being a complete see you next Tuesday and for showing dick pics to her colleagues.
Yes, and then identifying whose dicks they were.
Right. I wonder if one of them was Gavin's.
Truly. Or even Derp, you know, Derp Jr. I wonder if his is on there.
But did Bob just gag?
Yes, he just gagged. Oh, that was Bob running to the toilet.
Projectile. But so she needed a meal ticket.
Yeah.
Bitch got one.
Yep.
You know,
yes, she did.
They are so but anyway, okay, so that's enough on them. Because here's the thing. Jared and Ivanka have been very, very quiet lately.
Yeah.
Because Jared's going to jail.
I hope so. He's got a really good lawyer. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with pardons and all of that. You know, I really don't know. And I know he's got a really, really good lawyer who has gotten a lot of clients out of white criminal crime.
Don't you think that lawyers that defend these seemingly, I mean, like, what do we know? We haven't seen any of the legal briefs. But it's just sort of on the surface. Mm-hmm. These people are worthy of prison.
Yeah.
Of going to prison.
Yeah, I mean, I could never be a lawyer. I could never defend criminals. I just couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to because if I saw they were guilty, I'd be like, well, they're guilty, so I'm done.
Right. So I'm sorry, Paul Manafort. Oh, wait. We're just hearing now that Rick Gates embezzled millions of dollars from you and it's all his fault?
Yeah.
You read that yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They're all so twisted.
They really are.
And guess what? They're all being repped by rich white men.
Of course.
So do that math, America.
Yeah.
It's time for some fresh leadership.
Oh, my God. In every freaking way. And well,
in every freaking
speaking
way.
Of this, I thought this was kind of interesting. Former Democratic lawmaker Steve Israel has a theory that Trump wants to shut down the government because he wants Republicans to take back the House. And the whole deal is that he cannot afford to run in 2020 with the unpopular Republican Congress hanging around his neck. He needs a foil. And what better foil than House Democrats? Michael, this was on some kind of show. I don't know where they were, on MSNBC or CNN or whatever. But I know former RNC chairman Michael Steele agreed with Israel's analysis and said Trump was essentially throwing his own party under the bus to make life easier for his re-election campaign. And it says the president really doesn't give a damn about his legislative process. The better foil for him coming out of 2018 is to spend the next 18 months haranguing against Nancy Pelosi. So that's an interesting theory, which I think probably is true. And that's because he's talking about shutting down the government less than 100 days before a midterm election.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would do that? That's totally fucking political suicide.
Of course.
So I think this is totally, I agree with what Steve Israel and Steele are saying. I think that he wants to be able to run against the Democrats. I mean, God only knows how that'll go. We can't predict, you know, what's going to happen. But the one thing we can predict is Russia will be right there helping. I mean, with the Democratic House, we could get some new rules. We could get some, you know, new, whether it's election security or, I don't know, regulation on the internet, how misinformation is handled, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That would be great if we could do it. But we can guarantee no matter what they do, Russia is going to be full force for the 2020 election. It's much easier to skew a presidential election or to tamper with one than it is, trying to mess with every election in a midterm. There's so many of them. Obviously, the Russians can focus on a few key players, but it would just be too hard to you know, especially with the resistance, especially with the grassroots efforts that we're seeing in so many Democratic, or so much, I should say, so much Democratic enthusiasm for this election. So, I think that is a very sad but true statement that Trump would like to see his own, well, it's not his own, but you know, he doesn't give a shit if the Republicans lose. In fact, it will help him.
Yeah, he doesn't. But here's the other thing, Kimberly. He's on the other hand panicking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So visibly, you know, and so openly on Twitter. He's panicking. He called out Jeff Sessions again this morning to end the witch hunt. So I don't know what is going through his teeny weeny little mind. I'm scared. I'm terrified that they're hacking our elect. They're going to hack our elections, you know?
Right.
And so if that happens, then we're hosed no matter how you slice it. You know, people, decent, normal people who want fair elections in this country, aka Democrats, are calling for paper ballots.
Yeah, and that's what we should have.
But you don't
hear any
Republicans.
And then we get the hanging Chad.
And then we get what?
The hanging Chad.
What's that?
Don't you remember the 2000 election with Bush? Hanging. Yeah, there.
I don't know what hanging Chad means.
There was in the 2000 election. The reason why we had that Supreme Court decision was because of all these paper ballots that I guess weren't. I guess there was like pushing the machine.
Oh right, in Florida where they couldn't.
Right, and they couldn't figure out
how to put them in correctly.
And then there were these hanging little pieces of perforated paper called Chads that didn't fully come off so they were confused about the count. That's why they did that recount.
Because Bush had connections and his brother was governor, well, he won.
And the Supreme Court decided who the winner would be. So, you know, I mean, I always think of that when we call for paper ballots. Not to say that I think we should have paper ballots. I don't think the hanging Chad should stop us. But I mean, that's, you know, it's something that comes to mind. Whatever we figure out with paper, we have to make sure we don't have the hanging Chad issue again.
Correct. You know? Well, listen, I do a paper ballot and I've never had a problem with a freaking hanging Chad. And so if it's standardized and it works and the machines work, then we don't have a hanging Chad problem.
Yeah.
And
well, we need to fucking figure it out because there is no way.
It needs to be figured the fuck out.
This whole electronic bullshit, no. That cannot be trusted. I mean, you know, and then there's also everybody listening to this, please just check, you know, consistently check your registration, check your voter registration, check it a few days before you're going to go vote, check it the day you're going to go vote. You can do it. I don't know exactly what the website is, but if, you know, like government voting, whatever, some kind of government thing. And you can just look and see if you're registered with the party, which is most people listening are going to be Democrats, but make sure you're listed properly and not turned away. And if you are, record all of it. You know, record your, you know, it's like what I'm going to do. I'm so paranoid that when I go to vote, I'm going to check my registration. I'm going to photograph it online with my phone. I'm going to bring in my, you know, paperwork that I've received in the mail to prove that I'm registered. And if something happens, I'm recording the whole thing. And because we just cannot afford to deal with fucking, you know, the hacks and all the tricks, all the dirty tricks. Sometimes it's a legitimate mistake, but most of the time it's a dirty trick. You know, in 2016, when I was a Bernie supporter, which I no longer am, but when I was in all these Bernie groups on Facebook, and I started noticing people were saying that, you know, they had, whether they had been lifelong Democrats or they had switched over from independent to Democrats so they could vote, a lot of people were saying, hey, I'm no longer registered as a Democrat and I can't vote in this primary if it's a closed primary. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the time it was just, nobody really understood what was happening, but then later we find out, yes, people were purged. Things were changed. This was part of the Russian effort to fuck with us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, we have to be as prepared as possible, but you know, I mean, when we do win back the House, we have to get everything in line before 2020 because it's going to be a fucking shit show. And you know what? All of the same arguments are coming back. It's the same. It may not be Bernie v. Hillary, although I'm sure those names are Bernie's going to come back. But it's still going to be exactly the same arguments. It's going to be, you know, just the other day I was, I'm an admin on a variety of liberal Facebook pages, and a meme was posted that was, and it wasn't by me. I don't post this page or post anything on this page. I'm just one of the admins. So I do see the messages that come through. And most of the time I ignore them, but one of the messages was because one of the admins posted a meme of the difference of, you know, people who voted for Jill Stein and Trump's margin and how close they were. And it was kind of like, the meme was something along the lines of, show this to your friend the next time they think voting for a third party candidate is a good idea. So it's basically, if you voted for Jill Stein in these key states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and whatever the other one was, you know, you're giving your vote to the candidate you like the least. So this person sends a message to the page and says, take that down. You're dividing us. And all, you know, my immediate reaction to that is, don't tell me what to fucking do. And so I like to go and, you know, bat them around a little bit. And, you know, so I tried being friendly with this person and just explaining, you know, no, this is the truth. This is the true margin. The third party candidates are not viable, period. They're just not viable. It's a protest vote. And this person was just so angry and screaming all the exact same, the DNC cheated Bernie and blah, 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 all the same shit. So it's like, it's not going away. It's not at all going away. I mean, they're all just waiting, you know, waiting to bring this argument back. And then they've got their fucking leader, Glenn Greenwald, who just deleted 27,000 tweets of his having to do with, I think, Russia or Ukraine or something like that. And then, of course, he comes back. I don't know if you know this whole deal with him, but, you know, it was just he's the, what is it, the managing editor of The Intercept. Yes. He just, you know, deleted all of these tweets, and he's such a fucking smartass, and he's so sarcastic, and I guess Malcolm Nance called him out, and then he starts arguing with Malcolm Nance, and he's trying to play this off like, of course I know that there are Wayback Machines and all of this, but who deletes 27,000 tweets? Not emails, tweets. Who does that?
Someone who doesn't want their tweets seen.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a Wayback Machine, but not everybody on the internet is going to go to the Wayback Machine. So
I don't even know how. So
I don't know how, but if you enter Wayback Machine, you could, you know, people who know how to do it know how to do it. So, but it's clearly this guy is constantly taking Russia's side, and he's on, you know, Fox programs. They're the ones who are interviewing him, yet he's supposed to be a liberal. Yeah, no, I don't think so. He's working for Russia. He's helping the Russians, and he's going on, you know, far right Fox television shows.
Yes.
And spewing all the same bullshit that they are. It's like that walk away movement. It's such trash. You know, it's like all these supposed Democrats that are leaving the Democratic Party. And, you know, one of the chicks on the right tried to pull the shit that, oh, I was one. You know, she wrote this article. I used to be a Democrat, but I walked away. But if her bio says that she grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh, and she's like a Rush Limbaugh girl, so it's like she was never Democrat.
That's impossible. That's not possible.
No, they're lying. You know, and so it's like this is, you know, of course there's some Democrats, there's some people who voted for Obama who are in this walkaway movement. Of course, there are always going to, the far left is going to always exist. So there's going to be enough people. But the point is, this is a Russian / right wing tactic to try to discourage people from voting. You know, if you've got the African-American Trump supporter, Candace Owens, she said, you know, mark my words, something along those lines, you know, all the black people are leaving the Democratic Party en masse. And it's like, no, they're not. Mm-mm. No, they're not. If anything, we're seeing more people coming over to our side. You know, you've got all these people who are independents. And if they're sane, they're like, oh, my God, no, the Republican Party is dying.
I want to see a study that shows how many white Republicans are leaving and coming over to our side. Maybe not necessarily leaving the party, but who are
who will vote for
not gonna,
Democrats.
Who are going to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yolf.
Okay. So here, you know, a few months ago, people would have said, forget about the Senate. We're not going to win. We're not going to win the Senate. We're not going to take it back. Now, the House, very cautiously optimistic a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Now we're pretty well, like, right. if we keep going, nobody's taking anything for granted. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I am going to go, you know, tooth and nail until voting day for my, you know, candidate, for my and my sweet Andrew Janz. God love him. Did you see that Alyssa Milano?
Yes, I saw.
Was that? Okay, so I'm going to be a bit of a goober right now. Uh-huh. But so I'm pretty tight with the Janz campaign and his campaign manager and his event planner and scheduler. They're my people, those two. Amazing. And I texted them last night and said, oh my God, did Andrew Janz just spend the evening with Alyssa Milano? Because Alyssa Milano tweeted a picture of her and Andrew, like, at a party.
Right. Yeah, I saw
and
it.
And they said, they go, yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. And I said, oh my God, he is so going to win. And, you know, they a few months ago, it was like, nobody knows what the outcome is going to be. And we still don't know what the outcome is going to be. But Andrew is campaigning his ass off. And Alyssa is just not, she's like a dog with a bone with Andrew Janz. And that's what you need. Well, come to find out. So I'm back and forth, like texting with these guys. They were in Ted Lieu's backyard.
Oh.
With Mike Levin and a bunch of other congressional, flippable congressional candidates. I'm sure the Katies were there, you know?
Yeah.
And not only that, Lindsey Buckingham
was sitting on
the patio.
No, I'm so jealous.
Guitar. Oh, I swear, I've got a little clip. I'm like, who are you people?
I want to live in California now.
I know. And I said to them, I texted back. I go, I want to work for the campaign. Now, you know, I got to tell you something. They're going to throw this huge.
Yeah.
God, I hope I'm not spilling the beans anywhere. But I guess not, because they said they stapled the flyer to Ted's bulletin board before they ran out of the house last night. There's going to be a big fundraiser in the Bay Area for Janz coming up. Once they give me the go ahead to like let all the details out, but my band is gonna play.
Oh my God, that's so awesome!
And
that is so great.
And they're inviting like the who's who in California politics. It's gonna. I hope I'm okay to talk about this.
Of course you are.
But I mean, why wouldn't I? They want people there.
Yeah.
And you know, there's gonna be an entrance fee, but then it's food and beverage, and it's in this totally cool rock and roll club in the in the Soma in San Francisco, and it's gonna kick ass. And I'm like, I'm fantasizing, you know, I go, we got to have Swalwell. We got to have Lou. Wouldn't it be amazing if Kamala came out?
Yes.
And just all the, you know, Gavin needs to come out. Yeah. And the local, you know, the London Breed, the first African American mayor in the city of San Francisco. My homie Libby Schaff, who is like, you know, we love Libby Schaff in Oakland. And I think that there is so much excitement and people are coming out.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm talking to friends and I'm saying, look, it's, you know, it's not just a couple bucks to get in the door, but it's not, you know, it's not outrageous. I'll when they give me the go ahead, I'll tell you all about it next time we talk. But people are like, this is a worthy cause.
Yeah.
This is worth, you know, hubby and I not going out to date night for a couple months in a row, or, you know, me bringing my lunch to work for the next few weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are throwing down. They are showing up. They're phone banking. They're texting on behalf of, what's his name? Danny O'Connor. And is it? The dude in Ohio who has a really big chance to win a Republican congressional seat that has been Republican for like over 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I signed up to text on his behalf. I mean, like, we're all stepping outside of our comfort zones. We are giving of our time. We're doing what we can, where we can, more than we ever have before.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the way it is. So I am incredibly optimistic about this us flipping the house.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's going to happen. We have 78 opportunities to do it, and all we need are 23.
Well, and we definitely need to get, yes, and we definitely need to get more in the Senate.
And so now, and I'm sorry that I went off on a tangent, but I'm so fucking excited. So now let's talk about the Senate for a second. Beto O'Rourke.
Yes.
Dude could very well take Ted Cruz down.
I hope he does. Oh, that would just
I mean, Beto just started
that would, like,
his...
give me a femigasm.
Right.
I don't even know. A liberal gasm.
Yes. I'm going to have them all day. I'm so glad for that emoji that's just the three dots of liquid shooting. Like, that's... Yes. That's how I feel. Pew. So we got Beto, and he just started his road trip, where he's hitting like a zillion Texas cities. And he, you know, Ted Cruz doesn't even know how. And then wait till he debates Ted Cruz. Like,
if Ted will even debate him. I heard Ted wanted to debate him on Friday nights in Texas. That's like the Friday Night Lights. They're all at a high school football game. And that's when Ted said he can do it.
Right. He waits until football season to suggest that.
Yeah.
Fool. Okay. So we got Ted Cruz. That's possible. We've got this Democrat, Kyrsten Sinema, who's going for Jeff Flake's seat. Mm-hmm. Right. And she's got a very strong showing in the polls now. And so this is I'm looking at a Vox article that is just a month old. So I know that things are going really well for her. Dean Heller's in trouble in Nevada, where I sit. Because you know Hillary took that state, mm-hmm. and that's not going to be easy for Dean Heller. So let's just say we take Dean Heller's seat and Jeff Flake's seat. We're done.
Yeah.
And everybody else holds on to their seats. Mm-hmm. We're done. But then we've got this dude, the former governor of Tennessee. What is his name?
I don't know.
Who's going for Widow Bob Corker's seat? what's that dude's name? He's the former governor of Tennessee. Now let me try to, you know, isn't working fast enough for me right now. But anyway, that's a good one. What's his name? I've got it right here.
I don't know. It's Ted something.
No, Governor Phil Bresidon.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so, they loved him in Tennessee. So that would be great. Hmm. Anyhow, I feel pretty good. I think this blue wave is really happening. I know I've given way more money than I can really afford, but I give it because I think it's going to the right places. Tammy Baldwin is in big, you know, she's got the Cokes are coming out against her strong mm-hmm. in Wisconsin. So I love me some Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah.
And we need Tammy Baldwin. And Jean Shaheen's getting screwed with. And our girl, yeah. Claire McCaskill.
Yeah.
You see how it's all the women?
Of course. Yeah.
Fuck those motherfuckers.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I posted an article the other day about the Cokes backing Democratic candidates and as opposed to Trump supporting candidates. And when I posted it in some groups, and it really fucking pissed me off because all these people were saying fake news or not mm-hmm. quite understanding it. And it's like, it's not like the Cokes have become Democrats. It's that they're using this as a threat. They are they would rather see a Democrat than the Trump supporters because they're not getting what they want.
Right, right.
I wish people would wake up.
They?
And of course, pardon me?
Aren't they libertarians?
Pretty much, yes. But they're still they're still far right. And they basically come from the whole John Birch Society. Their father, Fred, was a founding father of the John Birch Society, which is far right. Mm-hmm. But what irritated me was that all these Democrats or all these liberals, when they saw this story, they just started screaming fake news, or they were saying Democrats shouldn't take the money. Okay, fine. You know what? Democrats should take the money. Then they should donate that money to liberal causes, or, you know, run on it. Who gives a shit? Take the money. If it can help them win so that they can change the rules so that there's less money in politics, I don't give a shit if they went off of Coke money. But the fact that so many Democrats were screaming, this is fake news, really just it made me so frustrated because I kept thinking, instead of recognizing the truth, I mean, the article had two sources in it. So if you didn't believe the blog itself, you could click on those source links to make sure with other reputable news sites reporting on this. It was all over the news that night. But this is the reason we got Trump in the first place, because, you know, of course, forget Republicans, but liberals who just have knee-jerk reactions to headlines, who don't read the don't read the article. They make assumptions, or they allow, you know, like these, when these headlines were coming out that were anti-Hillary, they just bought it. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to buy it because they hated Hillary, and right. they wanted Bernie to win so badly that they just bought it without, yeah. you know, like this fucking guy, H.A. Goodman, is this troll, this professional troll who I'm sure is paid by Russia. But in the 2016 campaign, all of a sudden he pops up and he's writing for everyone, for Salon, for Huffington Post. He's got his own YouTube channel. And all of a sudden in these Bernie groups, he was everywhere. So I know he was being propagated by Russian media or by Russian mm-hmm. trolls. And so he would say things like, Hillary's going to be indicted tomorrow. Hillary's going to be indicted. It's inevitable. Hillary's going to be indicted. And of course, it never happened. And all the rabid Bernie supporters just wanted it to be true. You know, they. Yeah. I asked him one time because he posted something in a group, and I said, you know, how are you, you know, how can you report this? What evidence do you have? And of course, he didn't reply. And mm-hmm. So, but it's like, you know, this guy was in Salon, this guy was in Huffington Post. These should be reputable news sites, but unfortunately, they're not. But in the end, I mean, they are. But I mean, they let him, I should say, write, which I don't understand why they let him do that. But because he was basically just posting a bunch of opinion that was bullshit and wasn't true. But the point is that people were allowing their emotional points of view to dictate how they saw the news. That's just as bad as the Trumpers. Just because you don't, like, if something sounds unrealistic, like, for instance, Koch backing Democrats. Okay, it sounds ridiculous, but it does, again, it doesn't mean that the Koch brothers are turning into Democrats. It means they're using Democrats to threaten Republicans.
Exactly.
You're not going to get our money. We're going to give it to your fucking opponents. Hello, why was this so difficult to understand? Oh my God, right. That made me so angry.
No, but you know what? That's just wasted energy. Like, one thing that I have learned is every drop of my energy is required in this fight.
Yeah, I know.
From now on until, you know, and maybe it's until, you know, we weed out the generations that we were talking about earlier in the show. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I will not argue with someone who cannot discern the difference between fact and motherfucking fiction.
Right, but it's like when it's a right winger, it's one thing, but when they're on your supposedly on your side, it's like, what? You know, right. And this one woman had commented on my article and said fake news, and I said, no, it's not fake news. And then I said, there were two source links in the article, here they are. Then she tells me not to have a coronary, which irritated me. So I said, I'm not having a coronary. I just, you know, like it when people, you know, read the article and find out that there are sources. And then she told me to get a grip. So this is somebody from the liberal side who is falling into the trap of what Trump wants us all to do. Argue, mm-hmm. or I should say Russia. Argue, divide, and all of that. We've got to start, you know, closing the show.
We
but before
do,
we do, I just want to explain what happened with IKEA, because this is really pissing me off. So back in February, I bought a desk. Actually bought a bunch of stuff. You know, we had just moved here from California, didn't take a lot of our stuff with us. So I figured IKEA would be a good place to go to just get a bunch of staples, you know, things like desks and plates and some shelves and whatnot. So anyway, I wound up spending $1,200. And I found, when I looked at the receipt, because it was a lot of stuff, so I was going through the receipt, I noticed they double charged me for my desk. So after a really long day, we had to stand in that stupid line, that return line, and eventually we got the second desk removed. So I bring the desk home, and it's a secretary desk, so there are, you know, two basically doors that open out, and then you pull the desk down, excuse me, and so it was my fault, but I broke the door. I broke the left door. So I called IKEA and I let them know. And I was more than willing, you know, to pay for a new door if that's what it meant. But they said, no, all you have to do is bring that door into the store and then we will give you a replacement door. Okay, fine.
Nice.
So, you know, I have a busy life and all that. So I didn't get down to the store. I think I purchased, the purchase was in March. finally got down. They said I had a year to do this. So went on July 14th. So when we went there, Bob and I was told that the desk has been discontinued and they didn't have any more in the store. So they, you know, and it took a while to get someone to actually help me because the first girl that I spoke with just basically was like, well, they're discontinued. I'm like, okay, can I see a manager? And so I get these two women and they were great. They were totally helpful. And they set up a case number for me and they found in the Baltimore store, there were 10 desks. So they said that they were gonna email this person at the Baltimore store and that a door would be shipped to me and that I should expect to hear something from them the following, you know, this was like a Saturday when I went in. So like Monday, Tuesday. So of course I don't hear anything. Contact, which if you call the 888 number, whatever it is, 800 number, it's a joke. You can't get to anyone. So they gave me a number to get a hold of somebody in the store. I bought it at the College Park store, not the Baltimore store. So I have the College Park phone number. When I call the College Park phone number and I try to get to anybody, I get a bunch of bullshit running around. Nobody ever calls me back. They're like, okay, I'll check. I never hear from them again. So the other day I tweeted that I was getting terrible service from IKEA and IKEA responds. Oh, we don't want you to have this terrible experience. We're going to help you. Great. So I send them a message. I give them the case number. I explain what happened. I don't hear anything. So I message them again. Hey, any movement? They're real friendly. And they're like, oh, yeah, we just contacted the Baltimore store and made sure, you know, they're going to be on this and told them the sense of urgency. That's great. Several days go by, nothing. I email them again. Have you heard anything? I don't hear from them. So now I'm like, I'm so fucking livid. And I send them this longer email and I explain. I'm like, this is the worst customer service I've ever had. I said, I just want a door. And I said, I shouldn't have to explain why I haven't gone down to the Baltimore store. But I'm willing. I'm willing to go to the Baltimore store if you can guarantee that I'm going to have a door. They don't send me a message. Then I send them another thing. Yes or no. Don't send me a message. I send them one more. And I said something like, you know, is anybody going to reply? They haven't replied. I'm so fucking angry. So I'm going to try to do what I can to see if there's a door in the Baltimore store, which is not going to be an easy feat. But if I can get one, and then I'll just physically go. But I'm going to fucking do a thread on IKEA. And I hope people share because it makes me so angry. It's like, I have no problem paying for whatever. I broke the door. It's my fault. I just want to get a replacement door.
Just get a door. You just want a damn door?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's so ridiculous. So anyway, there's my rant about IKEA. You know what? Fuck them. Terrible customer service. And I'm never shopping there again. Never. Ever. Ever. Okay. Anyway, so rant over.
I'm so sorry.
It's just frustrating. You know, it's like, God, you know, they're happy to take my money, but they don't want to help. I just get a bunch of people, bumbling idiots who don't know what they're doing and giving me, you know, lip service. Anyway, so that's gonna round up our show, but we're gonna go into another thing.
Yes.
So don't forget, please support us by becoming
love your support.
Yes, we do, a monthly subscriber. If you want to hear and another thing, which is coming up next, it's $5. That's once a month, just $5 a month. That's not even a freaking latte. A dollar a month and support us. That would be great.
Yeah, it's really not a latte.
It's not a latte. Anyway.
It's not an almond milk latte from my place, I'll tell you what.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. My life's a funny thing. Am I still young?